You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on the latest RedCafe.net podcast, should we be worried about Manchester City and what was Fergie thinking about with his Liverpool lineup? As well as all the usual features, find out what Nani gets up to in his spare time.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 87 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Yeah, it's the usual team of myself, Stephen Darwin, and Dan and Dov. Guys, how are you this week? Well, how have you been this past month? It's been a while since we've caught up.
Yeah, I've been all right, yeah, Steve. Not a lot has happened in a month, but no, not all well in the world of Danny Lomax.
Sounds like a reality TV programme.
It is. It's something that I should look at, really. You know, I could do like some sort of documentary or something like that, but again, I think it takes up too much time, really, and I'm quite lazy, so it'd be pretty boring.
I don't know, like your explanation of a curry that was a ready meal but wasn't at the same time before we started recording was good.
Well, it was good, yeah, but that'll remain off air because I actually think I might have ridiculed myself a little bit, but in general, Dov, it was nice. You know, my own rice and Tesco's curry, so a good blend.
Dov, how are you doing?
Yeah, nah, I'm good. Nothing much is happening in Dov's world either. Just eating pizza again every day, pretty much. Watching football. You know how you asked me all this last season? Like, it's pretty much the same. It's really quite terrible.
That's it. Well, there's can never get too much football, so that's good. Well, loads of games to get through, obviously, guys, since the last episode. I think there was about 8 or 9 in total. So, but we'll look more closely, obviously, at the two most recent games, and we'll start with the Champions League win over Ottolo Galati on Tuesday. So, yeah, general thoughts over that. Obviously, a few talking points would be the Vidic red card, which was absolutely crazy, wasn't it? I don't know why he's deeming that as a red card. And Ferguson's really? Obviously said he's... You reckon it was? You can see why it was given.
Yeah, I can see why it was given. I don't think it was a red card, just to clarify. But I can see why he did give it. Yeah, it was high. Why is he going for a tackle there? That high? He doesn't need to stand up. He's a most. He's an experienced player. He knows what he's doing.
Fair enough. Yeah, I just thought obviously the tackle. He wasn't going with his stud showing or anything like that. I don't know what angle the ref had. I didn't analyse it that much. But
the referee was standing there so that the. Galati player was in front of Vidic, kind of, as Vidic went in. So, again, like I agree with Dan, from where the referee was, it probably looked a lot worse than what it actually was. So,
yeah, I don't think it should have been a red card, but I'm just saying I can see why he went for it. But, you know.
Yeah, well, Ferguson's already said that they're not going to appeal it, so judging by what you two have said there, it's probably backs that up. No, 2 goals for Wayne Rooney, of course. 2 penalties, took them really well. What about the midfield partnership of Anderson and Carrick? How do you think that worked out?
Well, actually, I mean, I didn't see the game live, but I watched the full rerun on the club's in-house TV channel. And I tell you what, I read the papers this morning and everyone's slating Carrick, giving him a 4 and a 5, and I'm like, well, I didn't see that. Carrick, I thought, had a good game. Anderson, you know, he was solid in the middle, didn't do much wrong. Played a few good forward passes that just got cut out at the wrong time. But I thought in general he played really well, and he seemed to beat his players as well last night. I mean, you can say it's a team from Romania, but the job was pretty hard and they worked hard. So I think it was job done, really. It wasn't a special performance by anyone. I don't think anybody really stood out. Rooney with his 2 penalties and obviously being involved in winning them both as well. It was a highlight, but apart from that, I think just a solid performance, nothing to worry about.
And can you understand the sort of stick that we've been getting for the first half performance, or do you think when you go to somewhere like that away from home, it's new territory really, isn't it? is that the sort of thing you'd expect, just to play it cautiously, and then obviously in the end we got the result in the end, didn't we? The job was done. Far less comfortable than we'd have liked. But yeah, 3 points, and it was a vital 3 points in the end, wasn't it, when you consider the two draws from the first two games?
Yeah, not much happened in the first half, but I wouldn't say we didn't try and get the goal. I mean, Ever and Fabio were playing as wingers most of the game. And we had a lot of possession, but just couldn't break them down. And in the end, it took a fortunate decision. Well, a fortunate penalty. But it's very hard, I suppose, when you're playing teams that just sit back and want to counter you, to break down. It must get frustrating. Rooney was getting a bit frustrated at times, but thankfully he didn't replicate his incident with England. So no, I thought it was a good, solid performance, and move on to the next game now, obviously against City at the weekend.
Dan, you mentioned Fabio there. Dov, James McAllister's been on the Facebook group. He's just sort of put it to us. Why is it Fabio seems to get more games in the Champions League and then perhaps isn't trusted in the Premier League?
That's an interesting point, because I've seen that as well. He started the first game of the season in the Premier League against West Brom. And since then, he's played in all the Champions League games and also in the Carling Cup. And I think I'm going to compare him with his brother. If you look at his brother kind of started off maybe the same way, getting games in the Carling Cup, FA Cup and the Cup matches. And then as it worked his way up to becoming a Premier League starter. And I think with Fabio, because his career was maybe hampered at the start with injuries, because he does seem to pick up injuries quite a lot, he wants to get him kind of used to playing first team football on a kind of regular basis, because he'd be playing at least once a week. And before throwing him into what is a more physical type of football in the Premier League. So it's maybe protecting him a little bit, I would say. But yeah, other than that, I can't think of any other good reason, to be honest.
And Dan, just want to get your thoughts on Antonio Valencia. Obviously, didn't really take his chance to impress when you consider you've got the City game coming up. You'd expect, Nani and Ashley Young to be the two that start that game. So yeah, it was a bit of a shame not to see him really sort of grab the game by the scruff of the neck and well, put in a top performance. But understandably, I suppose, when he's obviously been out for so long, he's still seeming to trying to get back into the swing of it, really.
Well, it doesn't help that most of his games this season have been played at right back as well. So he's not really got any consistency in his play. I thought last night he wasn't brilliant. But like you say, he just needs to up his game a little bit. Obviously, Nani on the right-hand side looks a lot more productive, a lot more dangerous. So he's got a lot of work to do to get in front of Nani, because Young's played really well as well this season.
Stuff. So, well, we'll move on then to briefly look at the Liverpool game. Obviously, the 1-1 draw. Dov, were you surprised when you saw that team at the start? Obviously, Rooney dropped to the bench, which Ferguson explained was because of the incident with England. But then, if you're going to drop him to the bench and bring him on, why not just start with him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I was thinking that as well, thinking, I wonder what's happened with Rooney. Like, why is he not starting? And then that excuse came, and I thought, all right, well, why play him if his head's not right or whatever else? But Gary Neville said apparently, like, he'd done it against Everton last year when he's getting a little bit of stick in the papers, just take him out of the situation just in case it affects other players. So that's probably like why he'd done it. Apparently Gary Neville was saying that he's done it before as well. But I thought it was really strange. It was, as all the sort of other media outlets have said, it was a really negative kind of line-up from Ferguson, and Phil Jones being this kind of like trying to do a man-marking job on Charlie Adam, which I thought was a wee bit surprising. I thought that he set up the team not to lose at the end of the day. I think that was his priority. Don't lose. He wouldn't mind getting a draw, being that we've not got a very good record at Anfield in recent years as well. And, well, he got the draw. So I think from his point of view, he went and came back with what he wanted in the first place. So.
And this one might be one to rile up Dan. Rio Ferdinand, Dan, I thought he played pretty well in the Liverpool game. Obviously, there's been quite a few critics over the last couple of weeks suggesting that maybe he's coming to the end. I think we discussed it not long ago, the Ferdinand situation, but you still think he's got plenty to offer?
Yeah, definitely. I don't get these people. Obviously, he got rested last night as well, ready for the City game. But no, I think he's a very good player. I mean, he's still our best centre-half.
But I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to be controversial here and say that I think Phil Jones and possibly Smalling have done enough to sort of earn that starting spot now ahead of Rio, especially with his injury problems and the fact he doesn't look like he can get himself fit for every game, every big game, week in, week out. I'd start Phil Jones myself ahead of him.
It's a good job you're not my United manager, then, essentially. Phil Jones, he's played very well. Obviously, you know, his first few games early season have been really good. But I think he's still got a lot to learn in terms of, you know, the positional sense and reading of the game. I think he's too sort of focused on getting forward as well, which I don't like. He leaves a massive gap. The Basel game was, you know, paramount to that. All right, he did a lot of good things in that game, but the fact that he was running forward and for England as well, don't forget he did it when we conceded the first goal over there. So I think he's going to be a very good player, no doubt about that. He's still a player that I would play every now and then. But to start ahead of Rio when he's fully match fit, no chance for me.
But that's the thing.
When is Rio fully match fit?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, Rio Ferdinand is not that as good as he is when he's at the top of his game. He's not been at the top of his game for a wee while yet. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, he still played very well, though. I still think he's performed better than what Jones has, even if he's not what you're saying is fully fit. You know, he's one of them players now that we're going to have to start protecting. All right, he's not going to play every game, but you don't need to play every game. And it seems to me, whenever Rio comes back into the team, we look a lot stronger. We look a lot more solid at the back.
But do you not think it helps the team to have a settled sort of centre-back partnership that is playing week in, week out, where you're quite happy that Rio sort of is able to come in and maybe play the big games and then...
If it was anybody else apart from Rio, I think I'd be bothered. But the fact that Rio seems to come in, he just slots straight back in, whoever he's playing alongside. He seems to just do the job. You know, he doesn't come in and he doesn't look awkward. He just seems to get on with it. He can slot into that centre-half position as easy as anything. And it seems, and he's got the experience as well. You know, if he's going to play alongside Johnny Evans, he's got the experience to help lead him through a game. If he's with Vidic, obviously, it's a fantastic partnership. If he comes in with Jones, same thing. You know, it's a good lot of options, but I'd argue as well, you know, we've chopped and changed the goalkeeper the last few games, especially in Europe and in the league. That, to me, I think needs to be... I think you need to have a number one all the time.
Right, guys, we'll go over the results then. Obviously, starting with going all the way back to the 18th of September and the 3-1 win over Chelsea, big win, and most famous now for Torres' miss, I suppose. Still being talked about now, but yeah, we won't dwell on that too much. It was incredible. Had the 3-0 win in the League Cup against Leeds, where some of the fringe players got a go, and your man Michael Owen, Dan, popping up with a couple of goals.
Yeah, very good goals as well. The first one, he scuffed a little bit, but the second one, great strike. Can't ask for any more than that. Coming to the team, score two goals. Then I think did we play against Stoke the week after?
Yeah, that would be the one all draw after that.
Yeah, and he wasn't brilliant, but again, no, I don't think he didn't have any goal scoring opportunities to do, really. So, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's not played much since, though, has he?
He hasn't. No, I don't think since the Stoke game he's played at all, has he? Might have got on in the Basel game, possibly, at the end. I can't recall, but... Yeah, obviously we had the 3-all draw there, which was a bit of a surprise, really. Not a great result, obviously bouncing back to beat Galati. That's sort of covered that over slightly. And then the 2-0 win over Norwich in the Premier League at the beginning of October as well.
I just got to say, Steve, we'll stop you on the Norwich game. Like, that was quite a flattering result. Obviously, I'm sure you guys watched it. And I think over the course of the game, I thought Norwich played really, really well. And we looked kind of stuck in the last third. I thought we just kind of didn't have too much ideas until... So Anderson, it was kind of broke the deadlock, but it was kind of a nervy game, and the chances that Norwich got as well was quite worrying, considering how much of the plaudits we've been getting at the start of the season, and they came to Old Trafford, and I thought they did themselves proud as well.
It was one of those games where I was just thinking, the goal has to come, surely, we've got to win this game. And the longer it went on, I was sort of thinking, no, it can't be, not another Basel sort of result, but... Yeah, fortunately it came in the end. But yeah, you're right, it was a bit worrying in terms of the chances we gave away. I think it was good to have the international break then, funnily enough, after the sort of two, well, less than sort of impressive performances, really, when you couple it with the, the Basel game and then the draw with Stoke before that as well. So I think it was good for them to get away ahead of the massive game against Liverpool. And obviously that's a good point really in the grand scheme of things. So I think some of the likes of Chelsea and City might struggle at Anfield this season. Okay, well, moving on then to player and cabbage of the month. Dan, who'd be your standout choice for player of the month?
That's a good question. I think so many games. I think Nani's been pretty good throughout, so I'm going to go with Nani.
Good stuff, Dov.
I'm going to give it to David De Gea. I think given the criticism he got at the start of the season, he's really kind of shoved that right down people's throats. The saves against Liverpool, for example, is a recent example of that, and I think he's kind of been fantastic over the last month, to be honest.
Yeah, you stole it from me, Dolph. I think I'm going to have to give it to De Gea as well. It was between him and Nani. But yeah, like you say, recovering from the couple of errors at the start of the season and made some crucial saves really against Liverpool at the end as well, that saved the point for us really. So yeah, give it to De Gea. Cabbage then. Dolph, start with you this time.
It's going to be cabbage of the month, but this is really going on what happened on Sunday, and it's going to be Ryan Giggs for his, I don't know what he was doing trying to protect his private parts. I don't know what he was doing when he moved away from the wall. It was ridiculous, especially for a guy that's got the experience that he's got. He should know you don't do that. Even I know not to do that, and I'm rubbish at football. It's ridiculous, I thought.
I think he was trying to anticipate it, wasn't he, that Gerrard was going to try and bend it around the wall, and obviously Gerrard wasn't quite on target in terms of getting it around the wall, and that worked against Giggs with him moving to the side, but yeah. Not trying to defend him at all, because it was a silly error. If he'd stood still, it wouldn't have gone in, of course. But
yeah, I'm sure David De Gea would have said, okay, Ryan, when he takes a kick, could you move away from the end of the wall just in case it goes round? But no, he put him in the wall, he put him where he was needed to be, and he should have stayed there. He didn't, and that cost us a goal, and I guess Liverpool as well. So I was angry when I seen that. It was ridiculous.
Dan?
I think Valencia. I think the game against Norwich, I didn't think he was brilliant, and obviously he let Pilkington in with that chance, and obviously the latest game we played in Romania, I thought he was okay, but he was nothing special like you mentioned, so yeah. And the fact that I can't think of anybody else who's played worse.
Fair enough. It's always difficult, isn't it, Cabbage? For me, it's between Giggs and Vidic. For the reason Dov's been talking about, but Vidic, as well as the red card, I don't think he's quite been on his game really since the start of the season. Certainly not the top performances of the last campaign. I'm sure it'll come. I'm sure he just needs a run of games. Obviously, he's been suspended and he's been injured and whatnot. So hopefully, he'll get that run of games and his performances will improve. But yeah, and partly because there's no one else to give it to really. So Vidic for me. Right, we'll move it on to reserves with you, Dov. Quite a few games to get through for the A-teams and the reserves.
Yeah, there is indeed, so bear with me, everybody. I'll do the reserves quickly because there's only a couple of games for them. And they weren't that long ago. There was one at the end of September. That was against Norwich, Carroll Road, and the reserves got a 4-2 win. Paul Pogba started off the game in a quite positive manner for United. He basically pounced on a mistake by Simon Lappin, the Norwich defender, put United up after 3 minutes. Then there was a Drury on goal just before half-time before Larno Cole, who had played against Leeds for the senior side in the Carling Cup before that. He got a goal just after an hour. Then Steve's favourite, Will Keane, he managed to get the fourth on 70 minutes as well. And then Norwich got one just before the end of the game as well, but that was just a consolation. So it was 4-2 that for that one. And then they also played another game, which was on the 13th of October against Bolton in the Manchester Senior Cup. And I'm sure you all have heard or will have seen Ravel Morrison's 94th minute winner. It was a magnificent, amazing, brilliant strike that was obviously doing the rounds on YouTube and the like after it. Quite honestly, it was a fantastic goal. And another point in that game as well, there was an injury to Ezekiel Friars. He's kind of hurt his neck after a challenge by Jack Sampson and had to get taken off. But after the game, he decided to go on Twitter and tell everybody he'd just suffered a bit of whiplash. and he's all right. So that was some good news there. Right, for the academy, though, the academy have played about 20 games in the last month, so there's quite a few to get through, and it's not all good news. Started off, they played a game against Borough about a month ago, 1-1. Then Blackburn, a 3-2 defeat. Then they played City in, obviously, the derby, and were beaten 3-1. It was quite an open match. Two goals within 5 minutes for City meant it was going to be quite difficult for us. Albert Rusnak, he scored two of them. And yeah, City won 3-1, so it wasn't very good. Then we played Wolves after that, and this was a 5-2 thrashing. And this was the third defeat on the bounce for that one. So I'm not going to talk about it because it's too harrowing. And then we played Liverpool, and it was a 2-1 defeat there. So it was a hard-fought game, and this was the fourth consecutive defeat. Obviously, Adam Morgan, he managed to get a third-minute goal with a header at the near post. It was some good play by Liverpool, regrettably, before that. And to be honest, United never really threatened. And then we fell behind again to another goal. It was a header from Matty Regan, and it was Liam Jacob. He should have done better at the back to deal with a cross, but he didn't. And Liverpool went 2-0. And then he could have been further behind as well. Jack Dunn, he hit the woodwork before Barnby scored a good strike just after an hour, and that was his fifth of the season. At the time, took him to top of the goal scoring charts. And then only this afternoon, United played Crewe, and it was a magnificent 4-1 win. Adnan Januzaj, and I hope that's right, he opened the scoring with his first academy goal for United. He headed home from Chanet Ekangamene's cross in the 28th minute, and then it was 1-0 until just after the hour mark when Jack Barnby, he smashed another goal in for quite a distance to make it 2-0. Then Giuliano Van Velsen put us 3-0 up, and after that, Jack Rudge added a fourth 5 minutes later with another long range strike as well. So it's not really been the best of times for the academy, let's be honest, but a couple of good performances, and this Adnan Januzaj is he's a Belgian guy, and his performance against Crewe was particularly magical, and he's an Albanian Kosovan descent, something along those lines, and signed in the summer for us as well. So he had a good game this afternoon. So that's what's been happening in the academy and reserves over the last month.
Good stuff. Thanks for that update, Dov. And well, now it's the part of the show that I think everyone skips to at the beginning. It's the Twitter roundup, and Dan's getting ready to scrutinise the hell out of it, as he's been saying off air. He's really, really not a fan of this, are you, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, there's a reputable talk station also do this as well, and I'm just sitting in the car thinking, I'm not sure why I'm listening to this. I don't really care what Rio does with his kids, you know. I'm not too fussed. If he says something like, you know, he dropped the kids off and then he bumped into Lionel Messi and asked him to sign for United, then fair enough. But oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. If it's something controversial, then I'm quite happy to listen to it.
I don't think I can quite do controversial, but I'll see what I can do for you, Dan.
We just make stuff up and then see what happens.
Now, we'll have to see, get some listener feedback on this. If it's something that everyone really doesn't care about, then let us know at podcast@redcafe.net or on the Facebook group, and we'll look to drop it in the future. But let's see how it goes anyway. We'll start with Mr. Wayne Rooney. You're going to love this, Dan. He's a Leeds Rhino rugby league fan. So I'm sure that's made your day, isn't it?
Why does he support them?
I don't know.
Well, should tweet him and ask him.
And he's also been rubbing it in a bit to the Liverpool fans. What he did was, after the draw, he basically listed all the players that he said were rested with with big games coming up. He put and he listed Berbatov as one of those that were rested, though. So I'm not sure if he can get away with that. I don't think he's being rested at the moment.
And that's a one long.
I quite like the idea of trying to wind people off. I like that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, and I think he had a tweet as well earlier in the month that was talking about City, how the stadium was empty or something. I'm not sure what game it was, but yeah, he loves a bit of banter, does Rooney. Rio, Mr. Twitter himself, he threatened to put in a two-footed tackle on his TV screen after the Vidic red card on Tuesday. And yeah, he's basically, to be honest, I didn't go through all of Rio's tweets because it would take me absolutely forever. But he's joined the sort of army of players, fans and managers to have ridiculed that silly idea of scrapping Premier League relegation. Not sure why that's even been talked about, to be honest. It's crazy.
That's stupid. Another tweet he did, I don't know if you've seen it, after the Liverpool game, where he said that Charlie Adam did a wee bit of a dive for the free kick as well. I like that.
Yeah, he was praised as well for saying that he basically admitted that that there was a very slight, I think he called it feather duster amount of contact than a wee dive from Charlie Adam. So at least he's held his hands up and said there was contact. And he also not said, interestingly,
it's unbelievable. never a free kick.
Well, he also put, Dan, that it's the way of the game now, that sort of thing just happens where players sort of leave their legs in, and if they feel any slight contact, they're going down. So
that's a debate for another day, because I mean, we saw Rooney last night, even, you know, for the penalty. I mean, he could have stayed up there, I think. He decided to go down, but there was contact there, you could see that clearly. But yeah, the Charlie Adam one, he ran past him then fell over. He realised his touch was rubbish and he wasn't going to get any of it because he's 20 stone or something, and then he just didn't get there and thought, oh, I'll take a dive here. You know, and actually going back to that game, because we're not really talked about it that much. People in the office, I've got a Liverpool fan in our office, and oh yeah, we dominated the game and all this, thought we should have battered you. Yeah, but you didn't, did you? And if you battered us all game for the home team and had what, 4 shots on target, whatever it was, decent shots on target, then I'm sorry, you're not doing your job. And I told him that. I said that to him.
Wasn't the greatest game either, really. It wasn't the spectacle.
I was a bit disappointed with how Fergie went into it. I thought he could have played a stronger lineup, but it just shows you that he doesn't think Liverpool were a threat anymore.
There you go. Right, you've stopped me in my tracks here, Dan. Back onto the the Twitter roundup. Kiko Makeda, he failed his theory test for driving. I didn't think that was possible, to be honest.
See, I don't
what do you mean? I didn't think it was possible. I failed it first time.
No, you didn't.
I did. I was one short of what I needed.
You must have not revised at all going into that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I just think I got some curveball questions in there. You know what I mean? That just threw me a little bit. But no, second time flew through it. It's fine. Not an issue.
Glad to hear it.
So, do you think Kiko's going to pass it second time then, Dan? Would you put some money on it?
It must be a bit hard for him though, because I mean, he's obviously Italian. It's like me, if I went to Italy and did one of theirs, I'd probably fail that. I wouldn't be able to read the question.
Yeah, that'd be a start, wouldn't it, Dan? I think
to be fair, he's done well to even sit in the theory. So, did he post what marks he got?
No, he didn't put what he could have got. No.
I mean, that's a good stuff, but. But like I said before, you know, I'd rather, you know, he doesn't need to be driving around in sports cars. He needs to end up putting the ball in the net. That's what he needs to do. And he's not been doing that this season.
Not really had the chance, has he?
Kiko's listening. Sort it out. In fact, did I mention last year I saw him in the Trafford Centre? Kiko Makeda.
He must have got the bus there like Robinho did then, because he wouldn't have been able to drive.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
Should offer to give him a lift.
I've seen Kiko Makeda on a bus. He's probably embarrassed. That's why he's trying to pass the driving test.
Oh dear. Anders Lindegaard, he seems to be a big fan of Carl Pilkington, which is basically, for any of our listeners from abroad, it's basically An Idiot Abroad is the name of the programme on a popular TV station in the UK. It just follows around a northern bloke like Dan, really, just being an idiot.
Somebody said that the other day, and I don't like him. I don't think I do.
You've got the same mannerisms and everything. You pretty much are.
I don't think so. In fact, I saw the last episode. That's the first one I watched where he got had to go in that shark thing. And he said he's meant to be swimming with dolphins, but he ended up swimming with sharks.
Can you like empathise with him a wee bit, Dan? Are you just like, I know where he's coming from there. I can see it. Or are you just...
Yeah, it must have been pretty annoyed. Ricky Gervais rings him saying, yeah, you're going to be swimming with dolphins, but he ends up swimming with sharks, so...
Yeah. Our American listeners must be thinking, what are they going on about here?
Well, I'm sure they can find a link to it on the internet or something like that. They can have a watch if they feel like it.
Certainly can. He was also, Lindegaard was ready to rub it into Nani at training after Denmark beat Portugal in that big Euro 2012 qualifying clash. Michael Owen, pretty much the same as Rio, I'm afraid. There's so much to get through. I've only...
I read a few of Michael Owen's. He does them question answers, doesn't he?
Sometimes. Yeah, there's a lot of that caption competition.
I quite like that. I do like that. I quite like that.
A lot of horse racing stuff as well. But he also revealed that Scholes joined in training the other week and said that probably, rather unsurprisingly, really, he still hasn't lost it and could probably still be, well, definitely, I reckon, could still be playing now. So it's good to hear.
Do you not think it's weird as well? Sorry, Steve. Do you not think it's weird that you see Paul Scholes doing like, I've seen him do like 5 interviews since he retired. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and he's released a book.
Yes, Scholes, my story.
He's just been waiting to let it all out, isn't he? Ready to.
I don't think there's much in the book, though. I don't think it's very, you know, there's no hookers or anything like that in it. He's just a straight up guy, isn't he?
Good stuff. And just to finish off, guys, we got Nani tweeting about how he enjoys playing the piano. Is one of his hobbies, which might be a bit controversial, but that surprised me, to be honest. I just didn't see Nani as being the piano player, to be honest. And he posted a picture as well, which is hilarious. He sat there at this massive grand piano with a pair of flip-flops on. It's quite a picture, worth checking out on Twitter if you're on there. And also, Nani's been playing FIFA 12 like a lot of the other United lads on Twitter. He's been playing it with Miguel Veloso, who I believe plays for Genoa now. Is that right, Dov, being Mr. Italy expert?
Yeah, no, he does indeed. He does indeed.
While they were away on Portugal duty, he didn't say who was winning or anything like that. But yeah, FIFA 12, there you go. Good stuff. Well, that brings an end to the Twitter roundup. There was Phil Jones and David De Gea as well, but Jones is useless at providing updates, and a lot of De Gea's stuff has been in Spanish, and I wasn't going to be putting all of that through Google Translate. So unfortunately, nothing for him this month, but I'm sure there'll be more to look back at next month.
Yeah, it's good as well, though, that you can hear about these things that the guy's doing. I mean, I didn't know Nani could play the piano. I bet most people didn't know Nani could play the piano, apart from the people that are on Twitter.
I can see Dan, though, sat there now, shaking his head, thinking, do I care? Do I care that Nani can play the piano?
He's never going to use it in a game situation.
Well, maybe like the hand-feet coordination might happen, I don't know. Like, it'd be good for him.
No, I'm pleased for the lad. He's got something to go into after football now. He could have a lot of like do singing, and then he could like just do anything he wanted.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
We'll move on then, just finally, to preview some of the games this coming month. Well, there's only one place to start, isn't there, guys? The City game on Sunday at Old Trafford in the Premier League, of course. Dan, is this the biggest game we've had against City in, well, for a long time, really?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, they're top of the league, we're second, so it's a massive game. I think we'll still win it, though, being at home. I think if it was at Eastlands, then I'd be a bit more worried, but I think at home, we shouldn't really be expecting anything other than a win. It'll be a tough game, but I just think that we've not played well the last sort of 3 or 4 games, and I think it'll all come together against City, and I think we'll wipe the floor of them. I've just got a funny feeling. It'll be kind of like a Chelsea game where, you know, Chelsea played well in most parts of the game, but I think we were just too strong for them and took our chances, and I think that's what happened against City.
You've got no sort of worries about how well they've sort of started the season and the fact they've how they've improved their squad with the likes of Aguero and Nasri?
Not really, no. I mean, they've scored a lot of goals lately, but last night against Villarreal, I didn't think they were anything special, and they struggled to beat them, really. So we're a better team than Villa are, and I think we'll be fine. If you go in there, confidence is high, and I think Wednesday with the home crowd will be right up for it as well. And it'll be a good atmosphere, and it should be a great game, hopefully, and not a game like the Liverpool game where it was a bit rubbish, really, wasn't it? So I hope it's a bit more exciting. And I just think it'll be good game. Hopefully, I'm not too hungover on the Sunday to be able to enjoy it.
Dov, City compared to last season seems to be more of an attacking outfit, and Mancini seemingly has set him out to be on the front foot a bit more. Are you worried about that at all? Do you think Ferguson will try and combat that at all, or will he go 4-4-2 with Hernandez and Rooney up front, do you think?
I think he might try and combat it. I think the thing that's kind of a bit more worrying for me, obviously, like you say, they've been a bit more or a lot more attacking than they were last season, is the amount of chances that we've been given away, which highlighted for me was in the Norwich game, where it was just they were on the counter attack, just kind of taking us to bits, really. And when you've got players of the quality of Aguero, Silva, Nasri, then if they get those kind of chances, we're going to be more likely that they're going to put them away. So I think Fergie needs to kind of sort out what he's doing with his defence and sort it out quite quickly. Otherwise, we'll be in for a tough afternoon. I think I agree with Dan in the way that we're at home. I don't think we'll get beat, but I think it'll be a lot tougher than what the games that have been in the past. Although, you know, at Old Trafford, we've got quite a fantastic record against them, so... Well, recently, anyway, we won the last four derbies at Old Trafford, so I don't think we'll get beat, but I think it'll be quite difficult. And if we do get beat, I think that's a big statement on their part, and they go 5 points clear of us as well in the league. So
I was going to say, it's not something I want to think about too much, but if City were to pick up the win, how big a blow would that be psychologically? I mean, after that, we've got obviously the Aldershot game in the League Cup, which will be a raft of changes for that. But then it's Everton at Goodison, so that's not going to be an easy game. So is there the potential there to really sort of upset our season if we lose that? Or will it be will Ferguson be able to sort of get that straight out of the mind and move on to the next game?
No, I think so. I think, you know, something like that. We're not Arsenal. one defeat's not going to destroy us either. I think, you know, Fergie... Oh, we'll sort them out. If it does happen, then we'll be fine for the game against Everton. We like playing Everton. We always win at Goodison Park. I just think if City win at Old Trafford, then it'll be a much bigger psychological boost for them, thinking that they can go to the Champions and win on their home ground and go 5 points clear as well. And then no doubt they'll strengthen in January, so they'll have an even bigger squad, even sort of better players as well to choose from. So I think City have got more to gain from it, obviously, the winning, than what we have to lose.
It will be interesting how Mancini sets his team out as well, whether he does what Ferguson did last week and settle for a draw away from home, or whether he goes for it. Because I actually think if City want to go for it, I think they can get at us. You know, if they play Aguero, Nasri, Dzeko, and anybody else they've got, I think they'll cause us problems at the back. But I mean, what do you think Vidic should play? Because I thought he looked a bit rusty last night. And I think that's why he was left out of the Liverpool game.
Yeah, because he'd played for Serbia in 90 minutes for Serbia before that. So it was quite surprising being out. But
I think he's got to go with what he deems his strongest centre-back partnership. And we're all led to believe that that is Rio and Vidic. So I think that's got to be the way he goes with it, regardless of the red card the other night.
I must say, I've been impressed with Johnny Evans, though. I think he's played really well when he's come in this year.
Yeah, but Evans, there's always a mistake round the corner with Johnny Evans. There's always something that can crop up.
The thing with Vidic is he seems to struggle against players that are a bit more... players like Aguero and Tevez would cause him problems. I know Tevez won't play, but Aguero probably will. And I think he'll cause Vidic a few issues there. Kind of like Suarez last week with Rio a little bit. I mean, he was buzzing around the box, you know, falling over. I'm not going to say Aguero's going to fall over. I don't think he will do, but, you know, he's that type of player, isn't he?
Right then, guys. Well, what about a prediction then? Sticking your necks out. Dan, you're obviously thinking we're going to dominate. What's the score going to be then?
3-0.
3-0, nice. Dov?
I'm not that confident, to be honest. I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. I'm going to go for 1-0 United. Last 10 minutes, Rooney pops up to win it.
Berbatov pops up to win it. He'll start. No, something like that will happen.
No, he won't be anywhere near the pitch. I can't see him even being on the bench. I don't know what's going on with Berbatov, I have to say. I think he came out.
I'm disappointed in this news. I don't see what he's done wrong. Last year, top goal scorer. This year, he's not played.
Well, I said something behind the scenes. You never know. It's been kept under wraps.
Like what?
I don't know. He might have gone to Fergie and told him he should be starting week in, week out or something. You never know.
He's always come out and said, oh, he's dedicated in training. But every time you see a photo of Berbatov, he always seems to be smiling nowadays. It's like,
he's not having to do anything, is he?
I don't get it. It's a bit unfair. I think it's unfair treatment. I know Welbeck's coming and done really well, but and Rooney, but Hernandez, I don't think has been brilliant this year. You know, well, he scored a few goals, but Berbatov hasn't even played.
His contract's up at the end of the season, right? Do you think he's maybe just said he's not going to sign an extension? So Fergie said, well, "All right, well, you're not playing then."
Yeah, that could be it.
Why would Berbatov say that though? He's already said he wants to stay at the club.
Yeah, well, I'm just suggesting that. I don't know. I'm just putting something out there that you can maybe.
I don't think the club have offered him the contract, that's why. And maybe Berbatov's gone in and said, look, Fergie, offer me a contract.
Fergie's like, we'll take a 20 grand a week pay cut. And he's like, no, I want more money. And he's like, well, you're not getting it. Right, fine, well, you're not playing football. I'm sure it didn't happen as quick as that.
Scorer, the current top goal scorer, like, from last year. I don't understand why. I don't get it.
No, I agree. I think it's quite strange that he's not getting anything at all. Like for example, last night, like against a kind of minnow in the Champions League, why not start Berbatov?
Yeah, I will. I also think Owen should get more games, but I don't know how you're going to play everyone. I don't know. I'm sure he'll play towards the end of the season. I hope Berbatov is the one who wins us a trophy, like, and then just runs up to Fergie and like.
That's what I know.
I don't know. I'll be careful what I say, but you know, I don't know. Just makes a point about, you know, not playing.
I told you, Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson.
Did you see Adam Johnson yesterday come off the pitch, shaking his head and throwing his arms around? I loved it. I think that's good. Players should be unhappy about coming off the bench, but he's got to be knocking on Fergie's door saying, you've got to be playing. You know, I'm sure he did an interview, didn't he, yesterday, saying, because some Bulgarian fans went to the game and tried to persuade him to play for the national team again. And he came out and said, well, I can't really play for Bulgaria because I don't play for my club team. So I think he's having a bit of a pop, to be honest with you.
It's a way of getting a few games though, I suppose. Keeping that fit. It's tough. Well, we're just about coming to the end now of episode 87. All right, well, that just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening, and we'll be back again next month.